High up in the Andes Mountains, a glacial lake is perched 30 kilometres uphill from the town of Huaraz. Peru's glaciers are melting rapidly, and the lake has swollen to 8 times its previous size, threatening to flood the town. And one local farmer has decided to take action, suing a German energy company over its role in driving climate change.
He decided to do this to just show himself and his children that if there is an injustice, you can act upon it.
It is
like a tickle that large companies surely won't even feel since they are so wealthy. We need to start from somewhere. We need to defend ourselves.
That's Luciana Liua. And some panpipes as well. This story is told in this week's episode of Science Friction right here on RN. The ABC science editor Jonathan Webb is with me. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Hamish.
How much of a risk does this lake pose to the people of Huaraz?
It's a very real risk, Hamish. It actually flooded once before. Back in 1941, a chunk of ice from one of the glaciers that feeds the lake fell in, and a wave flooded over the banks and went down the valley into the city that you mentioned of Huaraz, which is just downhill, and actually killed about 1,800 people in the disaster that followed. In the years since then, a lot's changed. So the city itself has got a lot bigger. There's now sort of 50 to 100,000 people who live in the city and in the path of a potential flood. And the glaciers in that part of the world, as you mentioned, are melting, they're retreating. The ice caps in Peru have shrunk by, you know, a third, somewhere between 30 and 50%, scientists estimate, since the 1970s, largely due to rising temperatures and global warming. And as those glaciers melt, the lake, of course, is getting more and more water in it. You mentioned it's 8 times bigger than it used to be, but in terms of volume, it's actually got 30 times as much water in it as well. So some coverage has likened it to, you know, a bathtub that risks overflowing, and models show that if another chunk of ice, you know, fell off a glacier and did land in the lake, then it would produce a wave that would definitely sort of flow over the top, the lake would burst its banks, and you would end up with a pretty significant flood, and all of those residents in the town would only have about half an hour to evacuate. So it fits the picture of a lot of change in this part of the world, which has all been observed by the local residents, including Saul Luciano Liuya, who you mentioned, and he is the local farmer and mountain guide who has decided to do something about it. You can hear him here describing some of the changes he and others in the region have seen.
You can clearly tell from the city of Huaraz that the snow-capped mountains are not what they used to be like before. The glacial mass is diminishing. There is also a lot of opinion that Huaraz has a lot of pollution and it is hotter compared to the past. The elders talk about this, that there is so much heat, that the glaciers are disappearing, that we possibly won't have enough water in the future.
So you can hear it's not just about the flood. Obviously, if the glaciers go, then the water source for these alpine farmers, these mountain farmers, goes as well. So in the short term, there's a very real risk of a flood. And in the longer term, they're worried about the unpredictable weather and the rising temperatures bringing about changes to their entire livelihoods.
So at what point did this guy decide to sue an energy company on the other side of the world because of it?
Yeah, it's quite a kind of global story, isn't it? So actually in 2014, people might remember the global UN climate summit actually happened in Peru, in Lima. And it was there that Mr. Luciano Liuya met a lawyer from an NGO called German Watch. And then from there, the conversation developed and he ended up filing a suit in Germany in 2015. And the basis for this is, if you know, the climate change is contributing to these risks and changes that the population is seeing. What's causing that? It's carbon emissions. Where are the carbon emissions coming from? And they started to look at the big companies and who were the big contributors. And this German company, RWE, is responsible, they calculate, for about 0.5% of global warming relevant carbon emissions. You know, they used to burn a lot of coal and so on, although things are changing. And so Mr. Luciano Liuya is suing for 0.5% of the flood defence costs, which only comes to about $20,000 US. but is a kind of a an important first step, if you like, in terms of demonstrating this kind of liability. The case was actually dismissed in one of its first hearings in a court, but on appeal was actually allowed to be heard by a higher court. And the people involved are actually saying that's pretty remarkable that a case is even being heard and that this law could potentially apply to carbon emissions and climate change. It's actually a kind of a nuisance law that exists in Germany, which is usually used to kind of settle disputes between neighbours. If, you know, a tree is overhanging a fence, it's not illegal, but it poses a risk. And so the neighbour has a right to try and claim for the potential risk and damages. And so applying that to something like climate change is a pretty major step.
So what's the response from RWE to this?
Well, you can imagine RWE is, you know, fighting it pretty hard, but they also are emphasising their green credentials because they're going through a big transition, like a lot of companies in Germany in particular. They're pulling out of coal power entirely, and they argue that they are taking responsibility in that way for the effect of their industry on this global problem of climate change, but they are rejecting very firmly the any liability for this specific risk, and they argue that that specific kind of causation between what they've done and what's happening in Peru is hard to draw. And you can hear that in this Sunday's edition of Science Friction at 5 o'clock on RN. And here's a little sneak peek of what a representative of the company, Guido Steffen, said to Natasha Mitchell.
It is judicially impossible to relate specific or individual consequences of climate change to a single emitter. That's what would count according to civil law. You have to kind of attribute individual, and in this case, historical emissions of one single emitter to a single phenomenon on the other side of the world. And you have to find a direct link, which would maybe mean you would have to have tags on the CO2 molecules saying, I came from a smokestack on the other half of the world. Simply impossible.
So, I mean, this obviously means more than just the $20,000 included in this lawsuit. It would have pretty big implications, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would, and that's why the lawyers are interested and say it's a really important case. And there's a lot going on in this area of legal challenges to climate change. It sort of reflects a view that government action and these big international processes have been very slow. And in order to try and speed things up, there's a movement of which this case is a part to try and hold companies accountable directly. I think Saul Luciano de Julio is unusual because he's an individual bringing this case against a big company on the other side of the world. It's a classic kind of David and Goliath battle, if you like. There are other sort of class actions underway, but there are also big legal changes happening. Denmark actually has passed what they're calling a Climate Act, which is a pretty major piece of legislation which just came into effect last month, which effectively makes it illegal for Denmark as a country not to meet its own obligations on climate change, that the parliament there is going to be held accountable, the government rather, is going to be held accountable by the whole parliament every year for whether it's making progress against some pretty strict targets. So courtrooms, and this is part of a series of climate in the courtroom on Science Friction, are becoming a really interesting testing ground for who is responsible for climate change, and whether it's companies, whether it's all of us in what we consume and what we do, or whether it's governments.
Dr. Jonathan Webb, thank you very much.
Pleasure, Hamish.
Dr. Jonathan Webb is the science editor here at the ABC. You can look for all our science podcasts on the ABC Listen app, including Science Friction with Natasha Mitchell, where you can hear that full story available now.